die groot trek saam Dopie en Nina weekdae tussen 3 en 6.
Nou ons het vir jou gesê daar's genoeg negativiteit wat rondhang. En ons het laas so lekker met hierdie ou gesels. Jy 10 teen 1 al op sy webwerf afgekom goodthingsguy.com. Al hierdie mooi stories oor Suid-Afrikaners wat mekaar help en amazing goed doen en die natuurlewe wat floreer en al die negatiewe goeters wat mens gewoonlik in die media sien. Hierdie is presies die teenoorgestelde. Hierdie ongelooflike positiewe persoonlikheid. En dis wat ons nou kort.
Mm-hmm.
Net, ons het te veel sad goed gehad, maar hy's weer saam met ons en hy's al die pad van die Kaap af. Meneer Brent Lindeke. Hallo Brent.
Hallo.
Hallo julle, middag. Lekker to be on the show. Actually, I'm from Joburg. I'm just going to throw that out there. People think I'm Cape Townian because I've got that Cape Townian tone.
Yeah, you got the Cape Town thing going.
Got that Cape Town thing going, but I'm actually a regte echte
Gautenger.
So,
yeah.
Gautenger, but it's lekker to be on the show.
But then Brent, next time we need you in studio.
Yeah.
Then there's no verskonings.
There's no verskonings and I would love to be. So thank you. Thank you. I would love to.
Brent, so let's just start at the beginning for the people who missed our last conversation. When did you decide on Good Things Guy and why was it so necessary to start spreading positive news instead of all the negativity we see in the media all the time?
You know, it's crazy because the platform has grown extensively and some people, they stumble upon it now and then they're like, oh, this is such a great platform. And it's so like, the platform is so great. It tells so many stories. It's been around for 9 years.
I've been doing this for nine years. Wow.
Which is just insane. And it all started. First off, it started off because of a social online drinking game. Mensa, they were out there, they were drinking. It started down in Australia. It was sweeping the globe. People were doing really silly things online, drinking and like doing really stupid stuff. And I was just watching this and I thought to myself, like, why are we not more responsible with what we post online?
Yeah,
first
absolutely.
Of all, we know that now, right?
Yeah.
We've learned lessons as,
well,
as
not,
human
not
beings.
Everyone knows that now, but yeah, the majority does.
And the second sort of train of thought was, why weren't people being kinder online? Why weren't we using our social media to make other people's
change.
Journey in this
yeah.
and make people's journey in this life a little bit easier?
Mm.
We're all going through stuff all the time. Anyway, so I got nominated, and instead of drinking, I decided to do an act of kindness. I posted that up online. It was the first video I'd ever put online. And it went viral the very next day. That little YouTube clip had hundreds and thousands of views. And it got me on CNN and BBC and Sky News and
oh, wow.
all these crazy, crazy big media houses. And my social media started to grow. And from that, I had all this interest from NGOs, from individuals doing really good things and businesses with awesome CSR projects that wanted to tell me about the good work they were doing. And I like to say that moment 9 years ago was the first time in my whole entire life where I didn't feel like South Africa was falling over.
Oh, no,
I felt so proud of our country and I felt so hopeful about the good work that South Africans were doing. And I wanted other South Africans to feel the same.
Mm.
And that's really where Good Things Guy was born. The idea to share one good news story with South Africa and the world every single day. And that one little idea, that one simple seed of a good intention has turned into what is now South Africa's top good news site.
That's amazing, Brent. And I can't believe that 9 years have just flown by. And 9 years later, you got to meet Oprah, but we'll chat about that just after the break.
So it also be line via Zoom, Brent Lindeke, Good Things Guy himself.
So, Brent, we came across this very interesting article of you meeting Oprah. Can you tell us how in the world that happened? Because I know everybody here at Groot FM or a lot of people, if you can choose one person that you would love to interview, it's definitely Oprah. How did you get to chat to her?
Listen, if I tell you, full circle, right? So when I went viral 9 years ago, I was all over international publications and media and on radio and on TV. And when I landed up in the OMAG, which is Oprah's magazine, my mind was blown. South Africans are we the people that sat on every afternoon. I think it was at 3 or 4 o'clock.
Yes, yeah. We were checking SABC. Oprah.
We would sit and watch Oprah. It was just something that we did. So I grew up with Oprah and I, you know, was in the magazine then. And fast forward 9 years later, I get an email going, Brent, you've been selected to sit down with a one-on-one with Oprah Winfrey. There's only 4 journalists in the country that have been selected to do this. She was here for a conference.
Did you scream like a girl?
I cried. I sat at my desk and I just sobbed and I thought to myself, whose life is this? Like, whose life is this that you get an email of that magnitude? And then obviously I looked to God and I was just grateful. I was so grateful for all the opportunities that come my way. Mm. And then I had to prepare to interview what could possibly be the world's best storyteller,
yeah.
The best sort of journalist in the world. Mm. And got to the conference. The morning of the conference was fantastic. They were speaking about all the good work they're doing in South Africa with regards to trauma and helping people be more trauma informed to make better decisions as adults. So like help the kids so that they'll be better adults. And it was a great conference. And just before they broke for lunch, I got a message going, stay where you are. The crew will come fetch you and off you'll go to meet Oprah. And yeah, the 4 journalists, we all made our way. We were all pretty nervous before sort of sitting down with her. I was cold. I could feel my whole body was absolutely cold. And we sat down. Oprah Winfrey was about a meter away from me. I was sitting right across from her. They placed me in a chair in her sort of eye line. And they said, all right, you have 15 minutes, 15 minutes, introduce yourselves and you can have a chat. And Oprah went, 15 minutes? What are they going to do in 15 minutes? If they're really good, I'll give them 20. And wow. I was like, this is so cool. She's so cool. And then we introduced ourselves, each journalist. There were 2 that went before me. And she said, yeah, okay, I know that publication and welcome. And then I said, and I'm Brent Lindekew, the Good Things guy. And she said, the Good Thing. I know the good. I read the Good Things guy. I love the Good Things guy. And I was like, what the hell is going on? I don't even know. And then we chatted. We sat and we chatted. And the 4 of us plus Oprah and 2 people from her school, we just sat and chatted and chatted and chatted about everything, about her life, about what she's doing in South Africa, about her legacy and what she wants to leave behind. And then someone tapped her on the shoulder and said, Oprah, it's been 40 minutes.
Wow.
I have to take you. And we were like, we got 40 minutes with Oprah Winfrey and she's amazing and she's kind and she's got a real incredible story to tell.
Wow. 40 minutes.
I was going to ask about that, you know, if she's really a Lakatani. You know, the Tani that we saw, because sometimes she's really firm with her interviews, but she's got a real special place for South Africa in her heart. And by the sounds of it, the interview that you guys had with her, you could have kept going for hours. Is she that invested in South Africa?
Say as a rechte lekker Tani. And I think from now on, you've hit the nail on the head. We need to call her Tani Oprah.
Tani, because
that suits perfectly. Yeah, she's got this really, really big heart. And she opened the school here many years ago.
Yeah.
I think it was in 2007 when she opened the
school.
It's
the girls' school, right?
Yeah.
The girls' school, yeah. And they've had their fair share of problems. They've landed up in the news. There were a lot of things that they had to try and work out during the time that they've been open, but I think they've got it right. And now they've created the space that's called being trauma-informed, where they're teaching these young ladies to deal with their traumas so that they can understand what triggers them, to sort of to sort of regulate their themselves and their minds so that they can make better decisions when in a triggering situation. And what has happened since they've introduced this trauma-informed idea when it comes to the education sector is these young ladies are going on to do phenomenal things around the world. Remember, they come from hugely disadvantaged backgrounds. Mm. They don't come from homes where they have all their parents or support structures. And now these young ladies are going out into the world to become doctors and lawyers and accountants and people that work into the entertainment industry and teachers. And a lot of the ladies that go onto varsity, they also get their university paid by the Oprah Winfrey school and whatever that funding is. And if it's an Ivy League school in the States, that happens as well. So, and what's amazing, this is also good news, is that they go over, they study in these really big universities and get these great skills and expertise. And a lot of them are bringing it back to South Africa. Wow. So that's a good news story within itself.
That is absolutely. And it's so incredible to think, you know, that they've almost gone down that avenue because, like you said, many of these children are disadvantaged and they come from horrible circumstances, and we forget to deal with that and expect them, you know, to grow up to be responsible adults. But it's hard.
It's hard. And at the conference, before we sat down and chatted to Oprah, they had two young ladies who are now part of the alumni. They've gone through the school. The one's finished varsity. The other one's started varsity. And when they stood up and told their stories, when they stood up on that stage and they were so vulnerable with their hardships, I was like, when I was nine, my life doesn't even compare to yours. Like when I was nine and you're telling me that you'd lost your mom, your dad was an alcoholic that abused you, that it was never home, and you found the school by yourself, you registered by yourself, you went to the interviews by yourself.
Wow.
As a nine-year-old, I don't even think I saw further or thought about further than like watching cartoons on a Saturday morning.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? And they go, so like that one, I think her name was Nicole or Nadine. I forget. Don't quote me on that. Mm. But she stood up and she told her story. And then she went on to study an incredible degree. I think it was in medicine. And she's decided not to practice because she'd rather go into teaching so that she can help other kids in South Africa learn about their traumas and for them to be better human beings when they're adults. Like that's the type of class that is coming out of that school. And that, I mean, that's a good news story.
Wow, I've got goosebumps. It's amazing.
Well, Brent, we want to chat to you about some good news as well, because you are the good things guy. So you have the inside scoop on everything. We don't always get it.
I hope so. No pressure.
But we're going to hop into a song quickly, and then we're going to do the half past news, and then we'll be back with you. And then hopefully you've got one or two stories that you can identify, because we just decided today, you know what, we're going to speak to Brent. We just want to feel like a positive, you know?
Like a positive. I'm ready.
All right. So we'll chat to Brent Lindeke in a few moments again. Sometimes Brent, I said it, Lindeke. What's Lindeke? It's Afrikaans, is it not Brent?
That is, well, that's Afrikaans and it's Engels. So as you Afrikaans is, don't say Lindeke. But if you're English like me, then you'll say Lindeke.
Lindeke.
Is your pa Afrikaans?
My pa was Afrikaans, ja.
There
you go. Hoorie Brent, nou, jy het altyd die scoop op die, jy weet, almal stuur vir jou die good news, en jy het al die lekker positieve stories van reg oor die land af, maar ons het nou vandag gesê, ons soek 'n bietjie van die good vibes, jy weet, en ek het jou gevra om vir ons miskien 3 positieve stories by mekaar te kry van die laaste week, wat it just got you really excited about South Africa and the way where things are going. So can you tell us about one of those feel good stories?
Okay, well, I hope we have time, because I actually want to tell you about 2 of them.
Okay.
But we'll do one now, and then we're going to go to traffic, and then we'll come back and we'll finish it off.
Okay, so lekker. I got this email. So we get inundated with emails. We've become like the one-stop shop for good news. So when people want to send their good news somewhere, it goes to Good Things Guy, which is lekker, because we like to tell those stories. But we got an email from a woman who lives down in Fishhook. Her name's Robin Gvilt. which I don't know how to say her surname, but we'll say Gvilt. And she was having the worst day. It was sort of the beginning of the week. I think it was Monday. She was having the worst day of her life. She got a notification that someone was using her credit card in Spain, and those bling, 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 it was going off. She was losing money, and then she was getting emails saying someone else is trying to log on to one of her other bank accounts. Like, it was just, she didn't know what was going on. So she made her way to a local little strip mall, and there was her bank that she needed to go see. And she walked into the bank, and there was a long queue. Luckily, she'd already phoned and cancelled all her cards and everything, so that was fine. But she had to reissue cards and do all the admin around that. So she thought, the queue's a bit long, I'm gonna pop at my Woolies quickly, and I'm going to just buy some groceries and stuff for the house, which she did. She then went to the car. She packed everything in her car. She went back up to the bank. She sorted out all her banking, and then she drove home. When she got home, she realized that she'd left a bag of groceries in the trolley. Not sure how. Maybe it was because she was just having a really bad day, and everything was all over the place, and I don't know. But she'd forgotten one of her bags, and it was the majority of her groceries. So she sped back to the mall, the little strip mall. She got hold of the Woolies manager. She told him what was happening. And then she noticed her phone was dying. This is like a movie, right?
Yeah.
I'm watching a movie. There's so much going on.
Comedy of errors.
Comedy of errors. She left her phone number with the manager at the Woolies, went back to her home to charge her phone, hoping that she had power and that it wasn't load shedding. Luckily, she got there, plugged in her phone, and about 5 minutes later, the manager of the Woolworths phoned her and said to her, "Ma'am, we have your bag. Ezra, the man who collects the trolleys, brought it back and he gave it to us."
Oh, wow.
And she was like, "What? That's insane." And then she said, "Well, I'm going to come back and get the groceries." And he said, "Whoa, whoa, whoa. It's store policy. We're not sure how long it was sitting out there for, whether it, you know, the heat or whatever. We repacked it all for you, and it's in the fridge because it was refrigerated goods.
Aww.
So we're going to give you that. It's part of our policy." And she was like, "That the universe is not that bad. This is amazing." So she went back to the little Woolies, and then she said to the manager, "Where is Ezra? I'd like to give him some money to thank him." So the Woolies man said to her, "Unfortunately, we don't recommend that. That's not something that we recommend. Like, we have our own honorary thank you system. We believe in honesty, and we want to keep people honest." And he brought that bag back himself because he's a good guy, not because he wanted a reward. So he knows there's no reward here. And she actually went and met Ezra, and she sat and chatted to him a little bit. And he wouldn't accept a tip, even though she tried to give him some sort of reward. And he said, like, "This is my job. I'm here to make sure that if you do leave your groceries, if something goes wrong, that's my job. I'm here to look after you." And I think a story like that is a reminder. We sometimes forget. We think everybody's bad and everybody's out to get us and steal from us. People are inherently good, and there are good people in South Africa. And I think if we remember that, that's cool. And what's also cool on top of that is that the Woolies are going to celebrate him in some way. They've got their own honorary system, so he will be rewarded by them. But what a cool story, right?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Good news for today.
Faith in humanity restored. You have one more story. We're just going to go to the traffic. We'll be right back with Brent Lindeke. Asher Engels is in Brent Lindeke. As your Afrikaans is your good things guy. Saam met ons, good things guy himself, Brent Lindeke. Ek het net reg kry hierso. Brentie, welcome back. And thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to chat to us. I have a quick question before we get to a last good news story. You post most of your stuff on social media and online. It obviously opens you up for a lot of critique and criticism, and, you know, and it does feel like, even when you're sharing good news, there are still some people who feel like, "Ugh, I don't want to hear good news about other people." Is there a lot of negativity around good news?
Very little, but it is there. And the reality is, when you live in the public eye, then you live in everybody's eyes on the public, right?
Yeah.
So there are some people who are all about the good news and enjoy reading it and getting that good news, which is lekker. There are some people that avoid it like the plague because they don't want to know that good things are happening, which is fine for them as well. And then there are some that so I, on my personal sort of social media, I try use it Not always. I don't always get it right, because sometimes I like rant and write things that aren't very happy. But I try to keep people happy. I try to write an inspirational post every single day to sort of not only help my followers get through the day, but also help me get through the day. It's very cathartic for me to sort of write a little motivational. And there's some people that hate it. They just don't. They don't appreciate it. They don't enjoy it. They think that I'm not a nice guy. Whatever. That's fine. One thing that I realized 9 years ago when I went viral is try not to let the comments get to you. When you get good comments, you let that soak in and you take it for what it is. And when you get bad comments, maybe that's a good thing, because it balances you out. It pops that ego. Maybe that's the right way.
It's strange how 99% of the feedback that you get can be very positive, but that 1% is the 1% that's going to, you know, keep you up at night.
Yeah, and it's true, hey? It's so true. We are taught somewhere, I don't know if it's our parents or our grandparents that told us about sticks and stones,
yeah,
and we shouldn't let words hurt us, but they do. We're human beings. We have feelings. And the reality is, we're all dealing with stuff every single day that we don't speak about. Even me, who's happy and who puts myself out there and sort of opens myself up to let people read my stuff and also maybe be nasty at some points, I go through really terrible days as well. And I've got things happening in my own personal life that nobody knows about, because I choose to not put it out there, and it's sort of personal. And that's why words hurt, because on the outside we big and strong, and but on the inside we all just little kids trying to figure out how to get through this journey of life.
Absolutely, Brent. You had one more story that you wanted to share with us before we let you go.
This is a surprise story. So I know that I sent you what I was gonna speak about.
Yeah.
This is a total surprise. I didn't think it would go live today. I interviewed what could possibly be the most inspirational South African I've ever met. And I don't often get emotional when speaking to or interviewing people, because it's my job.
Yeah.
But with this guy, I had a lump in my throat. So his name is Kobus Olivier, and he hasn't lived in South Africa for a long time. He's originally from Cape Town. He was in the cricket space. He's a teacher. He studied at Stellies, and he worked for a couple of schools in Cape Town. And he's been traveling the world. So he lived in Dubai for quite a long time with his dad. And it's at some point, he managed to find himself in the Ukraine. And he was teaching in the Ukraine, as well as being the head of the Ukraine cricket sort of board. And then the conflict started, and his dad had passed away by that time. So he was alone, and he only had his four dogs, who are like his children. And he refused to leave them in the Ukraine. So when the war started and the bombs were going off 100 meters from where he lived, he locked himself in his apartment in his bathroom for 10 days.
Wow.
He mattressed up windows. And he was the only person. He said there was about 1,000 families that lived in this apartment block. They all went into the bomb shelters, but he wasn't allowed to go in there because of his four dogs. They were like, your dogs are not allowed in here. Leave your dogs in the apartment and you come in the bomb shelter. And he went, I'm not leaving my dogs. I'm not leaving my dogs. And he spent 10 days listening to sirens and bombs going off and trying to calm these little puppies down. Because obviously they were going mad with all this noise. And after 10 days, he realized there was no way that he could survive like this, and he would die that way. The bombs were getting closer. The sort of machine guns, these people were getting closer. So he used as much money as he could. He caught a lift to the Poland border. He got over to the Polish side. When he was there, they said to him, no, you're South African. You can't be a refugee. You can't stay here.
No.
You're going to and leave your four. Because it was rules. There were too many people. There were like a million refugees that were there. So they were just trying to manage all these people. And he was sort of third country away from where he was meant to be. So they said, you can leave your dogs here. They'll go into a foster sort of thing. And you can make your way back to South Africa. And he said, no, I'm not leaving my dogs. So he organized a car. He paid for it. I think it was €1,000, this old banged up 96 Audi. He said it was green. And he made a plan to drive through four different European countries to get to a country that wasn't part of the Schengen sort of state, at the Croatia, which is in the European Union. And he knew that he could try and find a safe space there. And that trip took many days. It was -4 degrees. He slept in his car, him and his four dogs. But eventually he got to Croatia. And he's now living there. He's made a life for himself. And this story has been made into a documentary called War Dogs and I. And at the moment, the South African story about a man that refused to leave his dogs has got a rating of 9.6 out of 10 on IMDb.
Wow.
It is an incredible, incredible documentary. It's gonna make you cry. And while I was chatting to him, I shed a tear because through everything, he risked his life. He risked everything that he had because he refused to leave what he calls his four children behind. And isn't that just a story of beauty and resilience and really being there? I'm a dog person, so it makes me, gives me all the feels. And I think some of your other listeners that might do the same.
Absolutely. That is amazing. Brent, thank you so much for your time. Thank you for spending the afternoon with us. And thank you for your positivity. It's aansteeklik.
Yeah, it's infectious.
It's infectious, yeah. So thank you. And hopefully we'll speak to you soon.
Absolutely. Baie dankie vir julle twee. And thank you for having me on the show. I know I don't speak much Afrikaans, but I tried to throw it in there. I'm a proud boer. Ek praat die taal. My dad was Afrikaans, so there we go.
There we go.
It's great to be on the show. Thank you.
Thanks, Brenty. Have a good day, bud. Brent Lindeke, good things guy. Ons sal die podcast vir jou ook opgooi as jy dit gemis het. Nee, net so ekstra lepeltjie positiwiteit soek.
Kuier maandag tot vrijdag saam Dobie en Nina, 3 tot 6, net hier op die Groot Trek, op Groot FM 90.5.